Here's an alarming statistic. 1 in 20 children will have a parent who is jailed before they become an adult. A new report released by the Commissioner for Children and Young People calls for more to be done to support the children who are innocent victims when their parents become involved in the criminal justice system. Joining me now is the CEO of Second Chances SA, Helen Glanville. Helen, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Graham.
Are you surprised by the findings of the report?
Not at all. I was a contributor towards helping Helen Connolly interview and have a chat with the children.
I mean, this figure is just remarkable. 1 in 20.
Well, the academics have said for quite some time that around Australia there's about 44,000 children of prisoners as we speak. But we're talking, obviously, over a period of time. I don't know what time period that refers to. But my thing is, I believe South Australia could be a leading light in the nation if they actually took the time to count the children left behind in the community. So if you were to go to prison tomorrow, they're not going to ask you how many dependents have you left behind. And that is a state matter. I know the Department for Corrections are trying to rejig their data in their new construction for the future, but no one's really counting, and that is part of the issue. And so I'm a great believer in knowing how many children there are. We're doing our bit, and we get referrals to our services, but I think there's more out there than we realise.
Wow. So you don't have a figure on the number of children in South Australia that...
No, but the one that came out in the report was over 6,000.
Wow. That is, and as you say, you know, no questions are being asked of them, so there can be children left in very vulnerable situations.
Extremely vulnerable situations, and if it isn't for an auntie or a grandparent or someone nearby who latches onto the scenario, then sometimes they just you know, are left vulnerable and exposed. So I think that we have a responsibility as a community for one agency to tell the other agency, and that for the sake of the children, information held by one agency should be shared with all the others.
So
to get my drift.
Yeah, so who should be asking the questions?
I think on admission to prison, I think that everyone should be asked. You know, it doesn't matter whether a man has 5 children by 3 different women. The issue is, how many children are out there and who's caring for them?
Yeah.
That's what matters. And we're doing our bit where we can, because we know how significant it is for a child to feel acceptance, belonging and value. And when they have a parent in prison, they often feel like the false guilt. It could be their fault, you know, or mummy or daddy doesn't love me anymore.
Mm. No, I mean, it beggars belief. You can imagine just how they feel, and particularly they can be victimised or bullied in the classroom.
Indeed. And that's why they sometimes suffer alone, and they feel the shame just by association. Graham, I was so naive in my childhood that I honestly thought that every parent in Australia taught their child to tell the truth. Mm. And you and I know our values are taught in the home. So we need to ask questions like, well, who was it that said to Graham Goodings, you can become whatever you want to become? And that kind of language doesn't always happen in these families, that encouragement to help them finish their education. Where we come in is we come alongside the wellbeing officers and we try and keep them engaged in school so they have the chance to finish their education, because at that very least can help them move forward and make their own decisions for their own lives.
Yeah, there's no way that a child in the situation should be victimised, persecuted or pushed aside just because of what one of their parents has done.
Correct. Not their crime, not their fault.
One of the anecdotal stories that I see from this report, a 15-year-old girl whose single parent was jailed, remained living alone in her family home, determined to finish putting herself through school. I mean,
how can this
happen?
Well, it happened. And we found her, and this is some years ago, and we know where she is now, and she's moved forward. And we encouraged her to finish her schooling. But there are situations that we don't know about, but we knew about that one. and we put some strengthening factors around her so she could complete her education. It's a harrowing time for these kids.
Yeah, most definitely. And, I mean, she was 15, a little bit older, but, I mean, it could happen to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 children of any age.
Well, I think that when they're so young, eventually someone reports that they're not being looked after properly and adequately. But that's where I think the counting is important. And we need to know, well, where are they? You know, did you leave the door unlocked? Are they going to be able to get into the home after school this afternoon, just after you've been arrested? So I think the other departments are trying to do their best, but it would be improved if, for example, upon arrest, the police actually went back and made inquiries, where are the children, or told another department so they could go and check on the children left behind.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be an overlap, does there? That, you know, as you said, you know, one department sort of finishes their job and I've done my job and another department takes up theirs. There's a vital piece missing.
It's called the care factor, Graham.
Oh, dear.
And we need to care as a community. Part of my role is to educate the community that these children are invisible. Look, there was a fantastic report done in 2015 called Dropping Off the Edge, and it actually has mapped out for every state across Australia the concentration suburbs, postcodes, where the families are situated. And that applies to South Australia and every state. And we know where these families are by generation and generation. And unfortunately, in some homes, it's no work ethic is taught because nobody gets up in the morning and goes to work. And we all know the children learn by example. So if nobody's getting up and going to work every morning, how do they learn work ethic? And so some of them presume that their future is the doll.
And that's no future at all. Helen, is any state doing it any better than another in this area?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly don't know. I just know that we are an exclusive South Australian charity. Now, I'm glad you announced us as Second Chances SA because we care about the South Australian children. I haven't looked over the fence, but I do know there's a few organisations that help facilitate the children to visit mum and dad in prison. That's not a nice experience either, the clanging of the gates, the security, seeing mum and dad like that, and then having to leave them. They may only have a 40-minute session. Very difficult when you've had to travel a long way. I do have to give credit to the department, however, for fast-tracking technology, because I do know that families have been very grateful to the iPad, the Zoom team type of situation where the imprisoned parent can have some FaceTime. So that overcomes some security issues, that overcomes travel issues. And I have to say, DCS did a good job on that, especially through COVID. But there's more we can do in the community because we can't expect the Department for Corrections to be responsible for the children. The children are in the community and we need to, as a community, wrap ourselves around them, whether it be in the schools, in sporting clubs, so that they're not isolated, so that they are embraced because they really need to be accepted and they really need to belong and they really need value.
Helen, thanks for bringing that to our attention. It is a very emotive, emotional issue, and I'm sure a lot of people will be touched by it, and I think we should all do our level best to make the situation better in any small way we can. That's Helen Glanville, CEO of Second Chances SA. What do you think, folks? Love to hear from you. 822-300-00 is the number to ring. Back shortly.